today's news.
Hello, and welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. I read a piece recently on the Manx Radio website, where else, of course, about seaweed down round Port St Mary and how they can only collect it or have a budget to collect it twice a year. And obviously, seaweed lies around, can get a bit smelly, and we all know the smell of rotting seaweed, one of the great scents of the Isle of Man. Sent me scrabbling through the archives to see how it's featured, and some fascinating pieces, far more perhaps than you might think, in the papers over the year, or over the years. I'll take you right back, for example, to the Manx Sun of Saturday, December the 15th, 1860, a wee while back. Seaweed is an article. The value of seaweed as manure is recognised wherever it can be procured, we are told. On the rocky coast of Brittany, many are the families employed in collecting it. Every tide is watched, every particle secured, dried and placed in a heap with a round top to throw off the rain. These heaps are periodically sold at prices which would make the English farmer stare and button up his pocket. The French government has even thought it sufficient importance for legislation and has prohibited seaweed being cut from the rock more than once a year. In this neighbourhood, south coast of Cornwall, now why this is within the Manx Sun I don't know, we have at times large quantities of seaweed thrown upon the beach after a storm, which detaches it from the rocks. In this loose state, it is washed about while the wind blows seaward, but the moment the wind changes to any point bearing over the land, it makes its appearance in the surf on the beach, there to be left by the receding tide. The legacy of the storm is quickly seized by eager agriculturalists, who are keen to be seen with long wooden rake in hand, up to the knees in water, contending with the sea and their neighbours to obtain the largest heap. This is quickly drawn out of reach by the next tide by numerous carts. A very amusing and exciting scene, says my visitor, a stranger to the sea. So it is, but it costs money. And then the writer goes on to say how, whilst it looks like it's going to be a good profit in collecting this seaweed, by the time you've actually dragged it in from the sea, then piled it up, then got your horse and your cart to move it, and then allowed it to rot down, it perhaps isn't as quite as good as it might at first seem. He goes on to say, seaweed used as a manure by itself has a baneful influence on grassland. It encourages the coarse grasses and weeds to the detriment of the finer and more useful sorts. Cattle, viz. Horses, sheep and cows, will always leave the part of a field dressed with seaweed alone for that which is undressed or manured with anything else. I wonder if that's true. Very interesting. Used alone for wheat, it tends to a rank growth of straw, producing at the same time a most unexpected crop of couch grass, without having any very marked effect on the amount of grain. For seeded barley, particularly when used quite fresh, it is most useful, increasing the amount of grain and straw, securing, invariably, a good plant of clover. For turnips or mangel, especially, it is very useful, either alone or in the compost. Used as a manure for potatoes on heavy land, it is most detrimental, and is barely tolerable on light, shallow soils. When used in a partly decomposed state, it's been known to rot whole acres of seed. As a decomposer of coarse, ill-made dung, it's invaluable. And to improve ditch and road scrapings, whatever they are, it is also useful. Well, mixed views on the use of seaweed there. I always thought it was rather good in the garden, but that writer, not 100% certain. If we go to the Times of Saturday, March the 11th, 1905, we read of the great health benefits of seaweed, again, oft debated and oft used over the years. We know it's used in other cultures far more than here. Medical opinion on seaweed as a medicine for the stomach, liver, kidneys and blood. I should say this is an advertorial, of course. Dr. Kirillov, in a paper communicated to the Eastern Siberian Medical Association, dealt with the virtues of seaweed in blood diseases. He said seaweed is widely used as a food in Japan, and as it contained combined iodine, blood diseases which assume such alarming characteristics in other countries run a comparatively mild course in Japan. Other medical authorities have from time to time called attention to the remarkable curative and strengthening power of seaweed, but remain for Mr. Vino to bring it more forcibly before the notice of the public. Wait for it. Vino's Seaweed Tonic. is regarded as the standard preparation of seaweed and for that reason is prescribed by doctors and used in many hospitals. It contains a deep water species obtained in the Pacific Ocean and possesses a wonderful strengthening, healing and purifying power, especially applicable to young and old in spring and autumn. Its most brilliant effect is produced in stomach, liver, kidney and blood diseases. The extraordinary cures it accomplishes, even in the worst cases, is undeniable proof of its superior value as a general strengthening and curative medicine. Don't know whether you get away with these adverts now. It purifies the blood, cures indigestion, wind on the stomach, liver complaints, kidney troubles, female weakness, whatever that is, weak and painful back, headaches, and is very effective in habitual constipation. Get me some tablets now. The proprietors, knowing the great value of this medicine, are prepared to guarantee a cure or refund the money. That's the spirit. This is a very strong stand to take, but it is quite justified by the great success of the remedy. Ask for Vino's Seaweed Tonic. Price is 1 shilling, 1.5 pence, and 2 shillings, 9 pence per bottle at chemists and drugstores. So quite expensive, I think, then, that would be, wouldn't it? However, if it cures everything, good value, maybe. If we skip to the Times of 1906, just the next year, Saturday, May the 26th, seaweed in kidney diseases. This time, Dr. James Walker, kidney and urinary specialist, New York, says, I never treat a case where the kidneys, urinary organs or stomach are involved without seaweed. I regard it as indispensable. The species of seaweed used by Dr. Walker is the same as that contained in, yes, you're right, Vino's Seaweed Tonic, which is used by many prominent doctors in all forms of kidney and urinary diseases because of its great strengthening, healing and purifying effects. Yes, you've got it. It's still the same price, though, I think. 1 shilling, 1.5 pence and 2 shillings and 5 pence for the bigger bottle. If we skip to 1931, the Peel City Guardian, Saturday, October the 17th. We're talking now about the export of seaweed. Have we exported seaweed over the years? Proposals to Douglas Town Council. Proposals for utilising seaweed from Douglas Beach are contained in letters which have been laid before the Health Committee of the Douglas Council. Mr. H.J. Gregory of London has made suggestions for the clearance of the weed for shipment to the mainland, where it can be used for chemical manure and medicinal purposes. And Vino's Tonic, mostly. And the town clerk has reported that letters from Messrs. W.T. Scales and Sons, Cleveland Works, Birkenhead, forwarded by Government Office, contain similar suggestions. The town clerk has been asked by the committee to write to Government Office on the matter. I wonder whether we ever did export seaweed. I think we gather it up now, and I believe it is used by the Parks Department. And hopefully they don't just get couch grass. In 1941, in the Isle of Man Times, Saturday, November the 29th, there's a shout-out for young women to get involved in collecting seaweed under a column entitled Women's Sphere, or Woman's Sphere, to be more exact. Collecting seaweed. Miss Margaret Brown of 11 the Promenade, Castletown, tells me that there is a special form of seaweed called Entelisia. Now, I've looked this up on Googled it, and I can't find it at all, but I think it might be a type of kelp, which contains valuable medicinal qualities. And it is to be found on the shores of the Isle of Man, particularly in Douglas. Here is a chance for Manx schoolgirls, why schoolgirls, to do something really useful, and if they collect any, they should be forwarded to Mr. Cubbon of Russian Abbey Balasala, who will see to its dispatch to the mainland. Doesn't say whether you get paid anything. I have a specimen of the seaweed in the office, the writer goes on, but as it would be difficult to photograph, I have left it in the shop in Athol Street, and any girls interested may see it there. Which shop? The seaweed is invariably found lying on stones. One does not need a spade. Sometimes it is found sticking out of other seaweed, and it is only found in small quantities. Its colours are purple, mauve, red, brown, beige, blue or green. Should be easy to track down then. There used to be a great deal in Castletown, but the wintry storms have swept it away. More is needed for its medicinal benefits, so here is a chance for Douglas girls to help. And I dare say Douglas boys could help as well. 1950, 9 years later, in the Mona's Herald, Tuesday, May the 23rd, a market for seaweed, we're told, a possible new island industry, many uses for the processed raw material. The prospect of establishing a new small industry in the island for converting seaweed into commercial commodity has been raised by the report of the commission which was appointed by His Excellency the Lieutenant Governor to investigate the possibility of the commercial utilisation of seaweed. The Commission was particularly keen to investigate the modern chemical method of processing dried seaweed, about which much has been heard recently, and to this end permission was obtained to join the Scottish Seaweed Research Association, and contact was also made with Messrs Albright and Wilson Limited, a firm of commercial chemists, who market the alginates which are produced from seaweed. It was learned that the principal product of seaweed is sodium alginate, which has a vast and increasing number of uses. Cellulose probably is the principal product at the moment. Many new industries are based upon unlimited supplies of cellulose, and the demand has steadily risen. In addition, sodium alginate is used in pharmaceutical goods, plastics, building materials, polishes, commercial gums, foods, jellies, edible creams, and in textiles. I think that remains true today, to be honest. £13 a tonne, we're told. Contact was established with Alginate Industries Limited, the concern which actually manufactures the alginates, and they were greatly interested in what they heard of the possibilities of harvesting seaweed in the Isle of Man, and sent one of their directors, Mr. R.R. Merton, to make a preliminary survey. The report goes on to deal with a type of seaweed known as Ascophyllum nodosa, one of the small types of weed commonly known as button wrack. It is found on rocks above the low watermark, still is, I think, and has to be harvested by hand. It is found in considerable quantities in the area of Derby Haven, Castletown and Port St Mary. After collection, it is first air-dried and then machine-dried, put through a mill and then reduced to meal. 4 tonnes of seaweed should produce 1 tonne of meal, and Alginate Industries Limited have offered £13 per tonne FOB at Douglas for this meal. Now, the article goes on to say the Commission has been in touch with Mr. G.M. Toller, the proprietor of a grass drying plant, which has been installed in one of the hangars at Ronaldsway Airport. This plant is situated conveniently to most of the suitable deposits of seaweed on the island, and was considered by Mr. Merton to be eminently suited for the treatment of seaweed. Mr. Toller has agreed to process a trial batch of a few tonnes of Ascophyllum nodosa, but has not yet had an opportunity of doing so. I think he did go on to do it at some stage. It suggested it could be a profitable off-season industry, and Mr. Toller has been requested to keep the Commission informed of the result of his experiments. Alginate Industries Limited secure the bulk of their seaweed from the west coast of the Hebrides, but it can be collected there only during the summer months. The winter is too wild to permit the work to proceed. By reason of its sheltered position, the southeast coast of the Isle of Man is eminently suitable for work in the winter, and Alginate Industries will be very glad to have a winter supply in addition to what they receive in the summer. The Commission considers that the collection and processing of Ascophyllum nodosa can be developed into a profitable off-season industry, utilising Mr. Toller's plant. Did that go ahead, I wonder? Does it go ahead now? You know what? I really don't know. Seaweeds of the Island was the head of a column in the Isle of Man Times of Saturday, December the 22nd, 1951. An interesting lecture at Port Erin, we're told. A very interesting lecture on the seaweeds of the island, illustrated by many exhibits and lantern slides, were given to the Isle of Man Scientific Society by Dr. S. M. Lodge of Port Erin Biological Station. Remember that? On Friday. Dr. Lodge said that eventually it is hoped to gain a complete picture of the seaweeds growing on all the shores and in the surrounding seas of the Isle of Man. So far, work has been mainly confined to the southern coasts from Fleshig to Derby Haven, although dredging below low watermark has been carried out from Niarbul to Bay Fine on the western side of the island and in Derby Haven in the east. Lantern slides were shown giving some idea of the variety of coastline available within a short distance, the sheltered coast of Derby Haven affording a strong contrast to the exposed limestone ledges of Port St Mary, only half a dozen miles away. The commonly occurring brown seaweeds of the rocky shore were described, and specimens of most of them were shown. The plants are of considerable commercial value for the producer of alginic acid and its various alginates, and the discussion at the end of the meeting centred on some of the more recent commercial uses of the products. Examination of the seaweeds cast up on the shore after storms afford an additional check on the plants growing in the locality and may often result in the discovery of entirely new species. In September last, masses of rare red alga, Calamenia, were cast up on Port St Mary ledges for a few weeks. Although dredging in the vicinity and constant search for the intertidal zone had failed to discover the species. Similarly, examination of buoys removed for scraping often affords an interesting sample of the seaweeds normally growing in deep waters. It seems seaweed has featured quite a lot. We know it's a very valuable plant and there's lots of it around the Isle of Man. Is there still research going on? Is there an industry to be had, perhaps, that we have now neglected? Or is it tucked away as a niche industry down at Ronaldsvale, in a hangar somewhere on an industrial estate? You know what? I really don't know. I like to hope that somewhere someone is benefiting from the island's seaweed harvest, but it seems to me a lot of it either lies and rots or is collected and used, as is suggested, as a manure for growing and gardening and on some of the flower beds around the island. If you know more, let me know, of course. HowardCaine@maxradio.com, C-A-I-N-E. Love to hear from you. It is, of course, all old news. Until next week, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.